Was their thought process then, though, was it based on their projection of a celestial event tied in, of course, with what's happening in the Milky Way? Or was it a spiritual event, or maybe a combination of both?
Combination of both. This is the way I think of it, George. There is an empirical alignment going on, and because it's to the center of the galaxy, the Maya thought of that then as, like we have an opportunity to reconnect with our true center and source. That's what the astronomy implies. And then, of course, there's all kinds of that has a real powerful spiritual implication, that we have an opportunity to reconnect with our true centers. Now, that's not going to happen necessarily. It's not going to happen all by itself. It's kind of like that old adage when the sheep are in the pen, and then if somebody leaves, if somebody opens the door of the pen, that doesn't mean the sheep are free yet, because
yes,
the sheep have to do something themselves.
They got to go through that
that's
doorway.
Right. They have to pass through the open door, and that's kind of like the challenge that we're in. You know, we have this amazing energetic situation that bodes an incredible opportunity for us to line up with the center of the cosmos. But we have to do something to put ourselves into alignment, because through many centuries and millennia of human history, we've been habituated to being out of alignment. So there's a real spiritual work that can be done. And all of the answer to what needs to be done is in the Maya creation mythology. So in my 3-CD set that just came out, Unlocking the Secrets of 2012, I lay out the spiritual teachings for 2012 and show how they are encoded into the Maya creation mythology.
How did they know these dates? You know, like you say, it began 3114 BC, carried through to December 21st, 2012. How did they know that date?
Well, this gets into your comment about, you know, how amazing their scientific achievements were. And I think that on that level alone, we certainly can give them a lot of credit, more credit than normally we do. They were very advanced astronomers and mathematicians. They invented zero. So conceptually speaking, they were very sophisticated in their concept making. Zero was the sort of linchpin of their calendrics and their mathematics. They were very ingenious, so they could do a lot without necessarily having telescopes hidden in the caves, you know.
Yeah.
I think because of our own scientific bias that, you know, scientific understanding comes through the medium of high technology and instruments, instrumentation, we sort of assumed that they must have had, like, telescopes or something to make these observations and project forward. But that's really sort of a fallacy, because in terms of, like, calculating precession, for example, noticing precession and then calculating it, well, the Greek astronomer Hipparchus in the 2nd century B.C. did that without telescopes. And you really only need star data that's about 140 years old. That's what Hipparchus was using. And then from that precessional motion of 140 years, you can extrapolate the full circle and then get the estimate of 26,000 years. That's how Hipparchus did it, and the Maya certainly did something similar.
Do you think that they had, and this is speculation, you know, a small group of people who understood these scientific achievements, they understood the mathematics, or might it have been the entire population? How many people do you think had to get together to begin to plan this stage and to really understand it?
I think there was a guild or a class of people that were sky watchers in Mesoamerican cultures, and we know that even before the Maya, before the Azapan people, the Olmec were making astronomical observations. So it's quite likely that these guilds transcended the changes of cultures and passed down the star data through the guilds so that they could have a reservoir of data to keep trying to figure out what's going on with the cycles. That's where all the Maya calendars come from, is observations of cycles, not merely astronomical cycles, but life cycles of plants, of human beings. So they recognized inside of these cycles, some of which are astronomical, a sort of a paradigm or a template for the spiritual unfolding of human beings as well.
So do you think this date, John, might be the end of the beginning or the beginning of the end?
Well, this is really interesting because precession does seem like it's a circle, and we grapple with how to understand how a circle can have a beginning or an end, or where is it exactly. In my 3CD set, I present a different way of thinking about cycles, and it's basically drawing from the breath cycle. We breathe in, we breathe out. We breathe in, we breathe out. Breath is certainly a cycle, but notice that breath goes in and out. And so we can picture instead that the circle expands and then contracts, instead of spinning around and around and around, which could just go on indefinitely, and we can't figure out where the beginning and end of that is. So cycles in nature begin at the center, expand outward, and then fall back to the center. And so what 2012 really is not the end of time, but the center of time. It is the time and place when we can rest within the infinite ground of all being, from which we spring and from which the world of manifestation springs as well. These are profound metaphysical principles and teachings that we see in Hinduism or Buddhism, but now with the work that I've been doing, I really think that, you know, there's a legitimacy to what I'm putting on the table in terms of showing how the Maya insight is as profound as the great perennial traditions that we already recognize as being so profound.
So you're not expecting some kind of major Earth calamity during that time period?
In a nutshell, no. You know, I used to say, or sometimes I like to say, the short answer is no, the long answer is yes. I really don't know. I certainly don't know. I mean, that's sort of the honest answer.
All right, so it's possible.
Well, sure, anything's possible. But I think what we have sort of a touchy situation in which we don't want to encourage people to not think of a pink elephant.
Exactly.
In the sense that we don't, you know, this. We're in this touchy situation that, I think Danian was going into this a little bit. I caught a little bit of his talk with you before I came on.
Yeah.
Our thought forms are really important. So, in a sense, the future that we create is an expression of the future that we will on a certain level. And we are at this place where intention is very important.